This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, All-Star Game tonight in Seattle, and then the baseball season will kickstart on Friday. Seeing a lot of memories of All-Star Game greatness. Home run derby last night, Vlad Guerrero Jr. winning. We've also got our NFL preview, day two. It's the Miami Dolphins as we continue to look this week at the AFC East. Did the Bills yesterday, and there were some troubling things about the Bills, but with the Dolphins, it seems to be very, very, very bright. Before we get to that, love barbecue? Well, your friends at Rufus Teague have you covered all day long. Kickstart your morning with unique smoke-roasted coffee, and then snack the day away with delicious barbecue nuts, corn nuts, and sunflower seeds. And of course, Rufus still has the world's best quality barbecue sauces and dry rubs for all your cooking needs. Rufus always says good sauce makes bad barbecue good and good barbecue gooder. All right, so the Dolphins, last year 9-8. If you were to say, who was the streakiest team in the NFL last year? It was either there were two candidates. There was the Detroit Lions, who started 1-6 and then also finished 9-8 but did not make the playoffs. And then there were the Miami Dolphins, who won a bunch, lost a bunch, won a bunch, lost a bunch, and it really mattered when the Tua Tagovailoa was playing or not. The Dolphins are building an incredible roster through trades. Remember last year at the trade deadline, they picked up Bradley Chubb from the Denver Broncos. And now they've got Jalen Ramsey that they picked up in a trade with the LA Rams. They are a team that picked up Mike White to be the backup of Tua Tagovailoa. I like Mike White. I thought he did a pretty good job with the Jets. He's not a great quarterback. He's not a Hall of Famer, anything like that. But I think he's a better quarterback. They got Mike White, Skylar Thompson on the roster behind Tua Tagovailoa, and that's going to be key because depending on Tagovailoa's health, then those guys are going to be called into service. But there's been conversation about Dalvin Cook. Yesterday, we kind of thought that, look, Dalvin Cook is looking to try to get out of Minnesota, go someplace else, go to maybe Miami. His agent is kind of toying with the idea that the Jets are interested. This could be nothing more than a tactic to get the Dolphins to sort of act quickly and maybe pay Dalvin Cook what he wants. I think he's got a $7 million offer to return to Minnesota. Like, say, look, if you want to come back, you have to come back for less. He obviously would like more, but even if he got $7 million, he'd probably want to go somewhere else. So if he got equal money, he'd probably like, look, it's probably better if I leave. The Dolphins would be a great place for him to land. They got Devon Achane from in the draft, but it's Raheem Mostert. It's not a lot of people. Jeff Wilson running the football. But this is not going to be an offense based around that. This is Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. This is the two dynamic wide receivers that they have. And then to go with some other guys like Braxton Berrios and Cedric Wilson, this is a very explosive-looking offense. The offensive line, I think, got a little better as people sort of said, look, it was a little bit of a problem, but they survived it. This is a 9-8 team, and I'm expected to not only win double digits if Tua Tagovailoa is healthy, but win the division if indeed he can stay healthy the full way. But that's the big key. He had multiple concussions last year. There was a conversation of him possibly retiring from football, but he's not. He's staying with the team, and then the team has to make a decision on him. But when he plays, they win. All right, and that's the thing that I took away last season was, yes, I am very curious about a player's health, especially when it comes to concussions. But when Tagovailoa plays, they win football games. So if he can stay healthy and if they can keep him upright and if he doesn't have another concussion, but when you have a couple, you're likely to get another one. It's one of the parts about having concussions. It's easier to get another one when you've had a few. Then the Dolphins are in good shape this year. As I said in hour one, I think there was one acquisition that I really liked, and that was Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio's been in the league a long time as a defensive coordinator. He tried his hat at being a head coach with the Denver Broncos. It didn't really work out, but he knows where his skill is, and that is being a defensive coordinator and one of the best defensive coordinators in the game. I really like this team. I really do. I have to say, I look at this AFC East. I know it's loaded. I know it's got talent. Aaron Rodgers is in the division. And the Patriots, yeah, the Patriots still have got some players on their team that can make it really difficult. I think the Patriots are not in the Bills category, but they can make it difficult in this division. And I like the Dolphins. I like the Dolphins in it. I mean, again, I can't stress this enough. It really just matters with Tua. And you know what? It's different conversation because you can make that case again with anybody. Like, we're not going to do this all previews, by the way, where we go, well, Josh Allen stays healthy, the Bills should win 13 games. If Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, the Jets should make the playoffs. We're not going to do that because the assumption should be that these guys will be healthy somewhat in previews. And then when they don't, then we cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
But Tua is different.
Yes.
Tua is different. This is a different conversation. I could, again, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, I could make that case for every team. If that quarterback goes down, they're in trouble.
Justin Herbert,
same thing. I'm always going to have to include Justin Herbert on that
list.
Got
to.
Hey, you know what?
And to a larger extent now, Trevor Lawrence.
And Trevor Lawrence. So we could do that with every preview, saying all of this is the quarterback. But this guy had two concussions last year.
Yeah, and I mean really bad ones, too.
Really bad ones.
Really bad ones. I will say this. I mean, with a healthy Tua, I mean, I know we just got done saying we're not going to say this about every team, but I mean, we have to with the Dolphins. With a healthy Tua, I think the Dolphins are the favorite in the AFC East.
Yeah, I do too. I'm leaning in their direction.
Yeah.
I mean, we just talked about Buffalo. We talked about how, look, that Stephon Diggs situation could be a problem. They don't have a wide receiver, too, that's good enough to warrant real honesty from a defense to get
Josh Allen might be distracted with, you know, Haley.
With Haley Seinfeld,
That's
right. But with the Dolphins, they just keep getting better. They keep making additions. And when you look at the subtractions on that team, it's not that eye-opening. It's not,
no, not at
it's
all.
Not something where you go, oh, they're going to really, really, really miss that guy.
They're going to rue the day.
Yeah. The departures aren't really that incredibly eye-opening. I mean, it's Teddy Bridgewater, right? There's a couple of them. I mean, you know, edge rusher Melvin Ingram, all that. But that's it. You know, there's just a couple, but it doesn't make you go, holy cow.
No, and the culture down in Miami, the football culture in Miami, it seems like a desirable place to go.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the main difference is you actually have players. You know, obviously, you know, Miami is a great scene. You know, I mean, it's a great party scene. A lot of you guys have a lot of fun down there. They go down there anyways during, you know, off season. They're having a good time, you know. We've always heard about the Florida housing market is awesome because they don't pay property taxes down there.
They'll pay income tax.
Income tax. Yeah. So I mean, that's always helpful. I mean, you know, when considering that, but I think the football environment down with the Dolphins, I think that entices people to come down there. It's like, you know what? Yeah, they're having a good time.
They went from Brian Flores, who's not a player's coach, to Mike McDaniel, who is more of a player's coach, and has put together himself a great staff.
Yes.
And he has turned into a very good head coach early in his career. We are starting to notice that Mike McDaniel can actually do this. And so, again, he's got a good staff down there, and they just keep adding talent. They keep finding ways to add talent, whether it's Tyreek Hill picking up him, Bradley Chubb, and now Jalen Ramsey. They are willing to make trades to win now. And you know what's really interesting? It would be easy for teams to say, you know what, let's not take that big of a leap at a time where if it doesn't pay off, we're getting hurt on the back end. The Rams felt like, look, if we give up draft picks and we acquire players, we got a good chance of getting to the Super Bowl in this conference. You know, we'd have to beat Tom Brady, and we'd have to run into Aaron Rodgers, but you know what, we could win the division if we acquire this talent. You could make the case that some teams would be really reluctant to say, hey, look, I'm not going to go all in on some of this stuff. They didn't have a first-round pick in the draft this year. Some teams are a little reluctant, but they feel like the talent that we have on this team, even at the quarterback position, a guy that, again, who's been in and out of the lineup, but we feel like when he's healthy, there is too much talent on this team not to be one of the teams to be considered for a Super Bowl. And I have to agree with that. I mean, eventually you're putting together a roster very similar to what the Rams did, right? And it doesn't count Jalen Ramsey, but that's kind of the thought process. Bradley Chubb, absolutely. Tyreek Hill, of course we're going to make this deal, right? Jalen Ramsey, of course we're going to make this deal. We need to win now. We need to win now. And I love the approach. And in a division where that's not guaranteed, in a conference where that's absolutely not guaranteed, I like the boldness. I give them credit for that. And so defensively, they were a pretty good team last year. They weren't one of the best defensive units out there. But you know what? I think the addition that they have with Ramsey, Fangio as well, I think they're going to do some good things on the defensive side too. But again, a streaky team. They won three straight, lost three straight, won five in a row, lost five in a row, won the final, had to win the final game of the season to beat the to go to the playoffs. Had to beat the Jets at home and barely did. And you know how I know? Because I had to watch that game closely because the Steelers were also 9-8 trying to get into the postseason. And the Dolphins spoiled the party. But then when they went to the playoffs, they had a very good showing against the Bills. It was a better showing than I thought. I mean, and look, I know Philip gave us a hard time for it, but there were two factors into why I thought they were going to get blown out in Buffalo. Well, three. Now, three factors as to why I thought they were going to get blown out in Buffalo last year. One, it was in Buffalo in the wintertime.
Yep.
Two, we were waiting. We now know it never occurred, but we were waiting for that just Buffalo. We now know our brother DeMar Hamlin is okay. Let's go kill somebody. Let's just go annihilate somebody. And the third thing was they looked terrible against the Jets in that game, that final game of the season. So you put those three factors in there, the Bills should have rolled over them, and they didn't, and they didn't. And the Dolphins, because remember, it was 17-0, and the Dolphins were being held to just field goals. But you're like, you know, they are getting the ball back. And they are putting up together some scoring drives, and now this is a one-score game. And then they had it a three-point game at halftime. So that was at least an eye-opening showing with Skylar Thompson, your third-string quarterback, going out and saying, you know what, we're down 17-0 on the road, no problem. No problem. We'll be right back into this thing. All right, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up next. Jerry Palm will join us. We'll continue to look at the Dolphins later on in the show. Keep it right here at Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Glad you can be with us again here on a Tuesday. All right, let's get to the good of the day, my friend.
Oh, the good of the day. Hey, you know what? Well, our favorite sandwich shop. Not really, but we talk about them too much on here. And it's never really entered the good. And I'm talking about Subway.
Subway. Okay.
So I'm putting Subway in the good today because they have made the bold decision to start using freshly sliced deli meat.
Freshly sliced deli meat. So this is going to be like when you go in there and you say, I want a roast beef sandwich, they'll slice it right in front of you?
I think so. Instead of having that tray of meat that's been sitting there for God knows how long. That's already perfectly, oblong shaped. And
I am asking this with all complete ignorance, 100% ignorance. So when you buy a franchise, McDonald's, Burger King, like when you own a franchise, Subway, obviously they call the shots, right? Because you can't go, and now we're serving raviolis. Like you can't do that. Like you can't be in a McDonald's serving like spaghetti, right? Like you have to serve what they serve. But do you have a case when you go, dude, I didn't buy this to be cutting meat by hand in front of customers. Like, I want to do it in the morning and prep it and then just make sandwiches that way.
But I don't even think they do that. I think it's shipped to them already sliced.
It's probably shipped to them. It's probably right.
Because all those cheeses are perfect triangles, which is machine cut.
Yeah.
And the meat, they're all the same shape. And just, I mean, they just, you know, it's like they open up a package of Oscar Mayer.
I remember this one buffet place. I can't remember what it was, so I won't name it, but I can't remember what it was. But they introduced a chocolate fountain. And I got to think like the general managers were like, what? I got to clean this. We got to clean this thing every night. Like, oh my God, what are you killing me? I got kids trying to stick their fingers in this thing. And come on, corporate, like, give me a break. And I just remembered because we have one of those home chocolate fountains that we bought. And I remember we used it once and then it was such a pain to clean. I said, we're never using this again. The kids enjoy it once.
Not something that you stick
Dad's
in the
not, you know,
you stick
cleaning
in the closet.
This one more time. You stick in the closet. I got my wife a chocolate fountain for Christmas and she looked at it like, oh boy, I love it. Yeah, yuck. But I can imagine being like, now I got to slice meat in front of people. Oh, you want the ham? Give me like the wrestler. A little less, a little more, a little less, a little more. Oh, God, that sounds awful. But at least it's good for us. Because I love going. There's one that, what is it, Jersey Mike's? They cut that meat in front of you. I love that. I love that. So good.
Yeah,
for,
and I think maybe
that.
That's it, because people, you know, people are gravitating more to those type of places, those sandwich shops, because there's a bunch of them out there now.
Well, you
remember,
know
like
what?
Subway seemed like to be the only one besides your local mom and pa, and then all of a sudden, all these places, sandwich places, start popping up.
You know
up.
What? I hate to say this, but have you ever gone to? You probably have. Have you ever gone? You absolutely have. You've gone to like a real deli place.
Yeah,
a real deli place.
Like wait, like yeah, not those mom and pa ones.
Mom
and
pop
been...
ones. They'll stuff a roast beef sandwich like a mountaintop.
Yeah, it's too much.
Just yeah, they'll just go, hey, you want some pickles? You want some lettuce on this thing? And you're like, I mean, well, they don't sort it out. They don't put it in plastic containers.
No,
they just
and they put a mountain of meat on there that you're sitting there looking at like, all right, well, maybe if I really squeeze it together, I can get my mouth around this thing. Because, I mean, sometimes it's too big.
You get to a sub shop and they're just like, yeah, man, we'll load it on there for you, man. Slice it up, cut it up, put it
and
right
that's where
there.
The disappointment comes to Subway, that you almost need to say, okay, Subway, you should be really concentrating on your bread.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
Because that, you know, one thin layer of meat ain't going to cut it. I'm going to be tasting more bread than, you know, the salami or whatever I've ordered.
I wonder if you can get it like thinly sliced, thicker sliced. Can you tell the guy, like, hey, man, I like my roast beef thick. So if you can give me some thick slices. It's like, no, dude, it's only one setting. I'm not messing with the settings. I'm sorry.
Yeah, corporate came down. They fixed it for us, and we didn't touch it since.
We're on three. I can't move it. It's actually they've actually welded it shut. So I'm sorry. We're not adjusting it. Sorry you like your ham thin, but that's just the way it goes. Well, that's awesome. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that load management has reared its ugly head once again.
What has it done now?
The Spurs.
Oh, yeah.
Have shut down Victor Wembanyama for the summer.
If you have to shut down Victor Wembanyama in summer league, what do you think is going to happen to him in the NBA?
Two.
What are we doing? Why?
Two games, and that's it. Is it, you know, the controversy of what's it called?
Real Britney Spears controversy.
Well, the Britney
that
Spears
one?
Controversy. No, the social media muscles that came out saying, oh, he's a bust, he's a bust, he's a bust.
Maybe they did, yeah.
Because he didn't show up and he didn't show up and, you know, pull out a triple double his first game out.
It blew me away how many people were wanting to really waiting for something of a failure from this guy. And I knew it was going to happen, because I think when you have with Victor Wembanyama, it's the reason why it's more ripe for something like that than, let's say, a player we know from college, is that there's so many I know something you don't know people in the media, right? I went to France. I've been watching his games online. And then the average person is like, oh yeah, is he that big of a deal? Is he that big of a deal? Sorry, Jay Billis. He only scored 9 points in summer league, and it's just a natural thing, even though it's summer league, for the love of Pete.
Yeah.
But here's the problem with summer league now. What else is there to watch other than Victor Wembanyama?
Nah, it's over. Do you think Adam Silver's going, wait, no, Spurs, we have an emergency meeting
like,
today.
That thing was on the top wasn't that on ESPN, ESPN Friday
yes.
night? Like, that was a big deal. They love to show some Victor Wembanyama.
No, ESPN doesn't have anything to show right now.
Come on. Like, seriously. Like, they should be like, say, Spurs, play him, please, for the love of God. Like, it's the only reason the international media is here, is to see Victor Wembanyama play. Oh, sorry the Thompson twins aren't that appealing. But Victor Wembanyama, he is.
Are you talking about the Thompson twins, the group?
Hold me now. Oh, warm my heart. No. God. Victor Wembanyama, please.
So, yeah. So, if you missed it, too bad.
Yeah, too bad. If you missed him.
If you missed him.
The guy scored 9 points in his first game and 27 in the next. And they're like,
not
that's
good
enough.
No.
We're fitting that. We don't need to see him anymore.
Yeah, we had him at, you know, getting 40 points for the summer. We're good.
That's good. Lock it in. Jeez.
He didn't quite make it, but,
Victor
you know, it's close enough.
catch Victor Wembanyama at an arena near you, or he may not. It depends on the day of the week.
Yep. Spurs don't care about selling tickets.
No.
They don't care.
They don't care. Oh, goodness. All right, what is the dumb of the day? Do we have time?
Well, we do have a little time, unless you haven't seen it. We can carry it over if you haven't seen it.
Okay.
Because you do need to see it. And that is the dumb of the day is that the Heisman has a new logo.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
I missed this. Okay, tell me about it.
Well,
I Google it?
Google it, because I need someone to tell me what the difference is.
All right.
And what I know how much advertising works. My wife's a graphic designer, so I know what designing logos, what it takes, how long the process is, the going backs and forths, you know, the amount of money that is spent on a new logo. And the only thing I could see is that it's a little bit smaller and the helmet changed.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking at it now. Is it the one where it's got this, like, tan background, says yeah. Heisman, and then the trophy is still there? You're right. The helmet has changed a bit. Yeah, okay.
I mean, there's nothing different. And
nothing too much different.
What I don't understand is, why did we need this?
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with the old logo? And, you know, and then if you're going to revamp something, like, you know, make it. If you're going to redo it, then you go all out. Like, you know, like when Burger King changed its logo or when Pepsi changed its logo, you looked at it, it's like it was completely different.
Right.
I mean, the similarities were there, but it was different. You could see the difference. I can't really, I'm looking at this like, okay, did you guys just have extra money? You're like, well, we need to spend it somewhere.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, let's. Yeah,
let's just exactly. give it to an ad agency and say, listen, we want you to revamp this, but we don't want you to change a thing.
That doesn't, you're right. It doesn't seem to be anything. Maybe just a few tweaks, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, nothing that's what the amount of money they probably spent on it.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't change it to Tim Tebow or something.
Yes.
like modernize it.
Prang?
Something else.
Tim right. Tebow with the,
some
you know.
Tim Tebow-ish
is
logo.
Is that the, you know, on one knee, fist to the helmet?
Yeah. The Heisman Trophy is my favorite award. It's, of all the awards, it's my favorite award. I don't know why. I feel like it's. I feel like the hypeness of it is a little too much. Like, I don't watch the full show. Like, I just like
yeah.
just,
I don't
just
think
tell me when
anymore.
You're announcing it. Like, I don't need a 15-minute soliloquy from Tom Rinaldi on some player's background. I don't need that. But I do understand the importance and the level of in, you know of importance the award has. But no. But man, you're right. I looked it up and I don't see. I'm with you. I don't see it. So. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's.
Attention, individual. This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us again on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Jerry Palm is going to join us in 15 minutes. We'll talk about the Pat Fitzgerald situation at Northwestern. Hey, we all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are a lot of different sounds that you might hear. Drive too fast and you can hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, the sound of ambulances and first responders desperately trying to free you from the wreckage, and you can hear the beeps of a heart monitor. You can also hear doctors and nurses in the emergency room as you're being treated for your injury. You can hear the sound of worried family members in the hospital waiting room hoping to hear that you're okay. And you can even hear the sound of people crying at your funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, whether by a lot or by a little, you can do damage that is beyond repair. You could seriously injure yourself. Or worse, you could hurt and even kill someone else. When you speed, you put everyone on the road in danger. One way or the other, speeding catches up to you. Paid for by NHTSA. All right, as we continue, it's Wake Up Call. All right, I was telling you this off the air. Yesterday, I saw a preview trailer for Napoleon, starring Joaquin Phoenix. And I thought it was one of the best trailers I have seen in a long time.
I know, I need to watch it.
It really is, it's really well done. First of all, it's Ridley Scott. He did Gladiator, so it's like, it's got that larger-than-life feel to it. But Joaquin Phoenix looks amazing in it. It looks like Napoleon. And it's got the war stuff and his bravado. But I love people who make trailers because they have to take the best stuff, put it together, they have to sell the movie. I hope the movie's good because I feel like that's a movie I would go see. It looked really sharp, really sharp. I remember when they used to have a show. It was like on E. It was nothing but trailers where they just showed you trailers of movies.
Yeah.
It was entertaining. Man, I love trailers.
Yeah. I can do that through my cable box now. I can dial up a trailer. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I go to, when my wife and I are running late to the movie and she goes, oh, that's okay. They just run a bunch of trailers. I'm like, I like the trailers. Like, I don't want to be late. I like the trailers. Some of them I have no interest seeing. If I see a cartoon, I'm like, I ain't going to see it. But most of the time when we go see a movie, we're not getting the kids' movies that are showing, showcasing. So I'm usually getting movies. I'm like, yeah, I want to see that. I think I might want to see that. Definitely interested in that. Definitely interested in that. You know? I mean, remember when we talked about back in the 90s when people went to go see Meet Joe Black just because of the Phantom Menace trailer?
Yep.
And then walked out the door? So that's enough. I'm not interested in seeing Brad Pitt play Death and Anthony Hopkins dying as a media mogul. No. I'd rather see Star Wars. I saw my Star Wars trailer. Thanks for the ticket. Bye. Leaving. Didn't even stay for the fun. But, man, people who put those together are great. So, anyway, I just throw that out there as a possible... That's coming out in November. I ain't going to go see a movie in November, though. I'm just not. There's too many things I want to watch at home. I don't think I'm going to watch it. I don't know.
I might.
It might be one of those things. You know what my problem is with a movie like that? I can't get anybody to go with me.
True.
My wife's not going to go. She's like, I ain't going to see that. Yeah, I was talking to my sister about this with because she's big into the movies, and I was telling her how I'm still deciding whether or not I want to go see the Indiana Jones movie. I heard it's not that good, but then there's some people say it's all right. It might be, you know, worth it. But I told her, I said, you know, one of the big problems, movie genre that gets hit is, do you remember like years ago in the 90s, there was a movie with Christy Alley and Tim Allen called For Richer or Poorer?
Yes.
Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
You know, and it was a kind of a romantic comedy. This couple, they were rich, they were being chased for fraud, and they hide with the Amish, and they learn to love the Amish, and the Amish learn to love them. And it's kind of one of those, you know, it's one of those simple formula movies, right? And I was saying to my sister, I said, I think those are the movies that people go, I can wait for that one. I feel like more people want to go, look, if I'm going to pay a lot of money to go to the movies, I need something big. I need a big movie. Like a simple romantic comedy, yeah, they might go because it's a little break, but they might also go, yeah, but you know what? That movie's on Netflix in 2 weeks. That's going to come and go, and it'll be, I can stream that thing no problem. But you used to wait forever to get the DVD, so you don't get it. Now it's poop, you're on streaming. So anyway, watch the Napoleon trailer and tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe it was boring.
I got to find the time to do it.
Yeah. So still covering the Miami Dolphins today. That's our team in preview sections. And again, in an AFC East that's probably, in my thought, the most interesting division of them all. And a lot of it has to do with Aaron Rodgers becoming a Jet. And the Patriots situation is interesting to me because I don't know how much tension is between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. Like, how much does Robert Kraft go, hey, Bill, what have you done for me lately? And he's like, I gave you 6 Super Bowls. I said lately. Because lately, I haven't seen any playoff victories. Like, okay. And then Buffalo, we talked yesterday, there's like a window here for the Bills to be a Super Bowl team, and it feels like it's getting smaller, and I don't think they did anything to really make themselves better. Even though they're coming off a 13-3 season, I don't think they did anything to make themselves better. You always want to try to be a little better, but the Dolphins did. The Dolphins have made themselves better. Again, barely a playoff team last year, but there were circumstances behind it. And would it be wrong to say that the Dolphins, again, 9-8 last season with Tua mostly hurt at times during the season, especially at the end where he didn't play in both the game they needed to win that they did and a playoff game in Buffalo. The reality is that I sort of like them more than I like a team that only lost 3 times last season. And how far have the Bills fallen in my mind that in early January on that Monday night against Cincinnati, I'm thinking I'm watching the 2 best teams in the AFC outside of Kansas City. One of these teams is going to play the Chiefs for the AFC Championship. But then not long after that, I'm looking at the Dolphins going, that might be the best team in the division because of what they did in the offseason. They didn't lose a lot. They gained a couple of pieces, including Jalen Ramsey, in a big way. The competition is going to be tough. This is a division that could eat itself, and that could be a problem. You want a division that you can gobble up your wins so that when you go play better teams in the conference, you've got a little bit of a cushion. You went 5-1 in your division, or 4-2. 4-2 is a great record in your division. Usually 5-1 is very hard to do because of familiarity. But if you can go 4-2 in your division, that's great. I don't know how many teams in the AFCs are going to go 5-2 against everybody else, right? I mean, it could be they could be swallowing up each other. And if that's the case, and if you're Kansas City, you're looking at the Chargers and the Raiders and the Broncos and saying, look, if I can beat these teams on a consistent basis, then I put myself in a little better position than a very good team coming out of the East who may be struggling with their own division because the talent is so strong there. But I think with Jalen Ramsey, Bradley Chubb, that defense is going to be really good, led by Vic Fangio. And Tua's healthy. Those weapons are unstoppable. Where do you control the Miami offense? How do you control the Miami offense? Right? Like, they're going to be one of the top passing units in the league. They're going to be one of the top scoring offenses in the league. They've got a defense that can get you off the field quickly. There's so much I like about this. Is there a flip side to it? Is there something? Yeah, well, there is. I mean, unfortunately, it's what we've been talking about all morning in this preview, the health of their quarterback. I mean, when he's on the field, they were the fourth best passing team last year. Right? Now, they don't run the ball that well. They don't need to run the ball that well. I mean, if Dalvin Cook wants to play for them and they work out a deal, that's just going to add it to the fire. But I'm not looking at the Dolphins and saying, well, they're a Dalvin Cook away from being a force in the AFC. I'm not doing that. But I do think they got to stop giving. They've got to be better in how many points they give up. And I think Vic Fangio helps them in that. And of course, I think Jalen Ramsey helps them in that. So there are so many pluses to go for the Miami Dolphins this season. And when we get to the Jets, and I take a look at the Jets, because that's a young team that's now got a veteran superstar quarterback, we'll figure out and analyze where we think the AFC is. But I think you and I can agree, I don't think the Patriots are going to be in the running for winning this division. Or are you buying a rebound of Mac Jones? You buying a sense of Mac Jones of being able to come back and play particularly well?
I'm not either. I mean, this is either. This is definitely a make it or break it year for Mac Jones. And I think it's going to be a break it year. I think the Patriots are going to be below 500, and I think they're going to go shopping for a quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with you. Even if Mac Jones plays decent enough, I don't think it's going to be good enough in that division. I don't think it's good enough to win enough games in that division. I just can't see it. But so this comes down to three teams, and each team has a lot of things going for it. I think the Bills is a familiarity, and they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the game in Josh Allen. I think they're well coached. This problem with Stephon Diggs is hindering. Jets, of course, a young team that needed a quarterback. Everything about the Jets people loved. Everything about the Jets and their young talent people loved. They needed a quarterback, and they got it. They got him. But the Dolphins become the more intriguing team to me, a team that is not afraid to go to the trade, route to get the players that they want, and they've gotten dynamic players, franchise-changing players in Tyreek Hill. Look, I don't think the Bradley Chubb trade last year was earth-shattering, but it was a great step for that defense. I think Jalen Ramsey was a great acquisition too. Not afraid to give up assets to pick up those kind of players. All right, Jerry Palm's going to join us. We'll talk Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald is out. Came down yesterday. What does it mean for the program? Was this the right call for Northwestern? And how they went about from a Friday 2-week suspension to firing him in 48 hours. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's Wake Up Call.
Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, waiting on Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, to join us to talk about the firing of Pat Fitzgerald out of Northwestern. All right, listen, it's a larger story than just the Northwestern football coach getting fired. This is not just a football coach at Northwestern. He's an alumni. He's one of the greatest players to play at Northwestern. He's been there 17 years, but it goes to the larger issue of hazing. But nevertheless, this is a story that went from an investigation with about 50 people, 50 interviews, looking at at what they determined, finding out Friday that this is worthy of a two-week suspension in July, to 48 hours later, Pat Fitzgerald is out of a job. That's where it went. That's how fast it went. How much public pressure was coming? How much was there a reconsideration of the penalty? How much was it a reconsideration in Michael Shill's, the president's own words, that maybe he did not take into account what Pat Fitzgerald should have known rather than what he didn't know? Like, maybe instead of looking at it from a standpoint of, hey, you know what? You got to get a closer look at your program. It's a 2-week suspension. After that, realizing, you know what? You should have known what was going on, and that's worth firing you. But it goes back into, again, all of these things are a little bit larger than a simple coach being fired in July. When a coach is fired in July and not immediately in November, it has something to do with a larger story. And the larger story here is not his performance on the field as a head coach. He is an alumni. He's one of the greatest Northwestern players to have ever put on a uniform. It is about hazing. And Ron and I were talking about this earlier. It is about the culture of hazing and where it is. You can go from a period of time in society where it was just a ritual, where it was just boys being boys in the initiation process, and as long as nobody gets hurt, that's just the way people accept new freshmen into a football program or basketball program or baseball program or whatever it is. But over the years, hazing has become shunned upon by society, and a lot of it is a generational change. As more people that were young and had gone through it got older and put in a position of power, they reevaluated whether or not those things were appropriate. And it seems like that is no longer an acceptable practice, even if the individuals want to do it, and even if there's a feeling like, well, this is a tradition that we used to have here. So this is where I would say I would want to ask some questions about Michael Shill. Was it hazing? Well, you looked at the report, and the report came back that you read it and you determined that the head football coach deserved to be suspended for 2 weeks. No other new information about additional hazing, or we forgot about that, had came up. So what was all right, you know what? We don't tolerate this. We don't want this within our program. You got to do a better job of making sure this doesn't go down. Coach, we're going to suspend you 2 weeks without pay. Turned into firing his coach, firing the coach in about 48-hour time. Jerry Palm joins us on a Progressive guest line from CBS Sports. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 an hour. How are you, Jerry?
I'm all right. How are you?
So what in your mind, or at least what is from the reports, what was the main reason Pat Fitzgerald went from 2-week suspension for this to being fired for this?
I would say in large part due to all of the dirty details going public, thanks to the student newspaper at Northwestern, the Daily Northwestern. Those guys did great work reporting that story, which it's not for the weak of heart and stomach to read that story. So I caution you if you want to read it. It's once all of that became public, the really sordid details of it, Pat Fitzgerald never had a chance. And honestly, it shouldn't have come to that. You know, I think they were, I mean, I don't really know. I can only guess at the motivations, but it felt like, you know, there was this story, and even the Friday news dump thing seemed fishy, because, you know, he's suspended for 2 weeks, the 2 weeks that coaches take vacation anyway.
Yeah.
So it's the least punishment can be. But they talk about the, you know, the investigation and his hazing, and that it was largely corroborated, or the allegations that had been brought forth by an anonymous player to the school had been largely corroborated, and they believed that those things happened. They just could not confirm that the coach knew about it. But here's the problem with that: you can't not know.
Yeah,
that's not an excuse anymore. You're in charge. You know, this is your program. not knowing is no longer an excuse. And even the NCAA doesn't accept that excuse anymore with head coaches for its violations.
And isn't that because you can create, as a head coach, you can create a plausible deniability chain, and then you go, hey, don't tell me what you're doing, what the other, I don't need to know, and it protects me because I can go, I don't know anything, but they're saying, no, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that anymore. These programs, not with as much, money that they put into these programs. And, they put these coaches in there. They're basically CEOs of a football program. And it's not just football. I mean, really, every coach, even the minor sports. I mean, this is you're in charge. You're in charge. It's your program. And the I didn't know doesn't fly anymore. You have, in fact, in this particular case, how could he not know? I don't buy that at all. He had to know. But even if he didn't know, that which I consider to be implausible, even if he didn't know, he should have known. And that's the thing. I mean, this wasn't some one-off incident where maybe you don't know. This is something that's been going on for, 4 years at least?
Yeah.
You got to know. There's no way you don't know. So
what? Go ahead.
But really, what pushed this from a slap on the wrist to a firing is the details going public.
Right. So you think at the time that would he have been savable? Because this is what I have a trouble with. I agree with you. I think going public becomes a problem for Michael Schill. But he read it, and that wasn't a problem for Michael Schill.
Yeah, I got a problem with that too.
Yeah. Right.
And think about it. Pat Fitzgerald has been around, he was a coach for 17 years, right? So this is going to be his 18th season as coach, if I got the number correct. Everybody else involved just got there. The AD, second year on the job. The baseball coach, they're investigating the baseball coach too for bullying and harassment. He's been there 1 year. He's had one season. The president of the university has been there 9 months. And you're dealing with all of this right off the bat. I imagine Michael Schill probably did not have to deal with this very much at Oregon, where he came from, but that doesn't really matter. Universities are notoriously bad at dealing with stuff like this. They try and sweep it under the rug, hope that it can go away. It never happens. Never.
Nobody said it never happened.
No, in this day and age, everything's coming out. So you might as well deal with it up front and take care of it correctly the first time, because you're not getting away with the Friday news dump anymore and expecting that everything's just going to go away.
Real quick, I got a minute. Pat Fitzgerald was like the ideal guy, an alumni, a great player, been there a long time, spurns other people. Is Northwestern now going to become that revolving door of coaches either getting fired or moving on to better things if they do good?
I doubt they find another guy like him.
Yeah.
He was the face of the university.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know who's out there. I mean, I guess you never know. I mean, I haven't got anybody off the top of my head that could fill that role, the whole thing, not just football coach. Anybody can be, they can get a football coach anywhere. But for somebody to become the face of the university like that, it's unlikely. But it doesn't happen in very many places. I mean, you see it, but it's not a common thing. So it's probably unlikely they're going to find someone, at least with this hire, like that.
Yeah, because you can come in, and if you do good at Northwestern, bigger programs come calling. If you don't go good at Northwestern and you don't have cash in the bank, you get fired.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That is probably going to be – although being in the Big Ten might make it more attractive than if they were somewhere else.
Right.
But it's going to be hard to get someone that's going to be as long-term as he is.
Thanks for joining us so quickly, Jerry. Really appreciate it, last-minute addition. Thank you so much, as always.
All right, thanks.
You got it. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, on the Pat Fitzgerald situation over at Northwestern. Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, he's the face of this university. But again, it goes back to this hazing culture. And look, if you're reading awful stuff, like what was being reported, like Jerry said, it's not for the faint of heart. And you go, this deserves a 2-week suspension. And then you come back and fire the guy because of it going public. That's the reason you fired the guy, is because it went public. You did not It did not concern you enough at the time you read that.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so...